All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf. I don't mean to interrupt the Dibur Chaverim over here. We're going to learn a little bit. So says the Gemara. Today was daf is Peches. We're going to pick up on Pei Zayin Amud Beis 87b. So we dedicate our shares as a chus of Rafua Shalema for Tamara Dina Baskina Shulamis, for Chaim Yaakov Dov and Abigail, for Yehuda Leib and Malka, for Kol Chole Yisro. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, and for all the Cholim, we'll have a complete and enduring refuah. Amen. So let's begin. So we left off, Bekerem Re'echa. It's actually the last short line on Pei Zayin Amud Beis. So again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, the Mishnah is continuing on the theme of workers' rights, and specifically the Mishnah over here is discussing the rights of a worker to consume produce when they are harvesting that produce for the balabos. So remember, again, we spent yesterday's daf kind of focusing on the parameters of that particular halacha. What does it apply to? When does it apply to? Now the Gemara actually says, who does it apply to? So the Kerem Re'echa, the Pasuk says, when you will come into the Kerem, into the vineyard of your friend, below the Kerem Kusi. In other words, that taloch is that you have a right to go ahead, and this concept that a worker is permitted to go ahead and partake of the produce that he is harvesting is a din in your fellow Jew. But it is not in the din of a Kerem Kusi, meaning if a field of a non-Jew, so even if one is working there, one does not have the same rights of consumption in that field. So Hani Chalaman Da'amar, Gezel Kusi Aser. So we'll say, so this makes sense according to the one who says that theft from a Kusi is Aser. That's why I need a pasuk ultimately again to teach me that a poel is permitted. But the one who says that theft from a kusi is mutter, hashtag gzela mutter, poel mi boy. So we'll say if it's permitted to steal from a kusi, does it go without saying that a worker is permitted to consume produce? To which the Gemara says, you're right. According to that manda amar, you'd have to say, mokim le bekerem re'echo, below shel hekdesh. We'll say, according to that opinion, you would have to say that Kerem Re'echa teaches me that the din, ultimately, again, of consuming produce while working, is dafka a din by a field of a fellow Jew. But if you are working in a field of hekdish, you do not have the right to go ahead and eat produce while you are harvesting that produce. And I will say, we're not going to get into it now, because actually we did this in Baba Kama a little bit. But, you know, when the Gemara talks about that there's an opinion that says that Gezel Kusi, stealing from a non-Jew, is mutter, Tosas says, to point out, what are you talking about? No one says that you're permitted to go ahead and go over to a non-Jew and steal from him. So Tosas goes ahead and defines the parameters, that there may be certain situations where I might be obligated to return something to a Jew that I would not be obligated to go ahead and return to a Gentile. So Tosas frame, if you have a little bit of time, you could come back to this at the end, or you could look at it on your own. It's that Tosas el leman damar gezel kusi mutter. But again, Tosas goes out of his way to say that in no way should one walk away from this Gemara thinking that the actual theft from a Gentile would be permitted. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. V'achalta. So this is very interesting. Now we're going to define the parameters. I'm a worker in Reuven's field. I'm harvesting whatever it is. Because remember, we've established that whatever it is that's attached to the ground, I can go ahead and partake of it while I'm harvesting. Now the Gemara is giving me the limitations. V'achalta. So let's say grapes. I can eat the grapes below motzeitz, but I can't suck on the grapes. In other words, that I guess one of the ways that a person would go ahead and consume grapes is you would suck out the juice and you would throw away the skins. So you can't do that. Why can't you do that? So Rashi says over here, so I'll say, so why can't you do that? Because interestingly enough, if you do that, you will end up consuming a lot more grapes in order to be satiated. That, of course, so again, I'm permitted to eat grapes as a worker when I'm harvesting grapes, but I also have an obligation to eat in a way that's responsible. So I can't suck out the juice, throw away the skins, which will lead to much greater consumption. If I'm going to eat, I have to eat the whole grape. Similarly, anavim, I can eat grapes. So we'll say, so for example, you can't eat grapes and something else. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Litbol anavim bemelach, lemiskan shiyochal harbe. You can't go ahead and, I guess they would sometimes put salt on their grapes. So what happens if you put salt on their grapes? Meaning some type of condiment with the grape. What that does is that increases one's appetite. So again, same idea. You want to eat grapes, you can eat grapes. But you can't eat grapes in a way that would increase your appetite for those grapes. Next, kinafshecha. You could eat Right, literally kanafshecha means you could eat, you know, as much as you want, in accordance with your will. Kinefesh shel bala bayis kach nefesh kach nafsho shel poel. Just like the balabas could eat, so too either worker could eat. What does that mean? Ma nafshecha ochel upatra. Mostly this is going to be our primary discussion today. Just like if the owner eats, he could eat without having to tithe. Look at Rashi. Ma nafshecha ochel upatra min ha-maiser. Dehalo nigmara malachto le-maiser. Because you must remember, we're talking about unfinished or unprocessed produce. So because of that, the obligation for tithing has not yet set in. So just like if the balabas wants to eat, so he could eat without taking maaser. So therefore again, af nafsho shel poel, ochel upater. So too when the poel, when the worker eats, he could also eat in the field without first having to tithe. Sarecha. So you could eat according to until you're sated. Velo achila gasa. You're not permitted to overeat when you are the worker in the field. And furthermore, again, you're permitted to eat, but you are not permitted to go ahead and put the grapes or the produce into your basket. So again, when do you have a license to eat? You only have a license to eat when you are harvesting for the balabas. But, however, but when you are not placing the harvest into the utensil of the balabais, in other words, when it's not the harvest time, then you are not permitted to eat. So the license to eat is dafka at a time when you are already harvesting for the balabas. Fine. So the part we're going to focus on most over here in today's daf is this statement that kinafshecha, that one word, kinafshecha. And kinafshecha teaches me that just as the balabas is permitted to go ahead and eat without tithing, he's permitted to eat without tithing. So again, so too, when I, the poel, am eating, I am also permitted to eat without first tithing the produce. Now, just take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Af poel ochel upater. So says Rashi, V'lo amrinon hoil de ba'agri ochel, al karcho shabalabayis habilei, kimekach, umekach kovas lemaiser. Af davar shalom ingmar malach, do kevan dezam le'achshay. So both say, so I might have thought, again, I have a meaning, we'll discuss this, that since the worker eats the produce as part of his wage, in other words, one has to imagine that when figuring out the wages of workers, this is kind of built in. The fact that a worker is permitted to go ahead and consume produce at the time of the harvest is built in to figuring out the wage amounts. So therefore, because this is part of the wage, and perhaps again, the worker's consumption of produce is like a quasi-sale. Because it's like a quasi-sale, maybe the mekach, maybe a purchase, establishes that the end of the produce is fully processed. If the produce is fully processed, then it should be chayiv in shumis and maizros prior to the worker partaking of it. Therefore, the Gemara says, not like that. The Gemara says that ultimately, kinafshecha, that the worker's consumption is like the balabas's consumption. Just like if the balabas consumes unprocessed produce, he's not chayiv to take shumis and maizros from it. So to the worker, when he enjoys it in the field before it's fully processed, also need not take shumis and maizros from it. Okay. Now, I'm Rabbi Yanai. So now we're going to talk a little bit about meiser. So ein hatavel, tavel is untithed produce. So untithed produce does not become chayiv in shumas and meisers. Ad top of pechas and medalev. Ad sheyira pnei abayis. Until you actually bring the produce inside the house. Inside the house, meaning produce has to enter the home in order for it ultimately to be chayiv in Shumas and Maestros. Shena Emar, where do we know this from? Because the Pasuk says, V'arti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. Because the Pasuk says, Rabosai, by vidui Maeser, I have removed the Kodesh from my home. Which the way we understand this to mean is that the only time it becomes Kodesh is when it enters into my home. Rabbi Yochanan says, Afilu Chatzar Kovas. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even a Chatzar is Kovas. Even ultimately, again, Even if you bring the produce, or even if, we'll see actually what this means is, even if you pile the produce in your chatzar, so that's enough, meaning the act of piling produce represents that it is a finished product, and even if you don't bring it in the home, but you pile it in the courtyard, in the chatzar of the home, that establishes meiser liability, or meiser obligation. Because the pasuk says, you shall eat in your gates, and you shall be sated. What does Rabbi Yochanan do with the phrase "Biarti Hakodesh Min Abayis"? Amar Lacha, he will say, "Chotzer Dumya De Bayis." that in order for the chatzar to be kovas, in order for the chatzar to establish ultimate tithing liability or responsibility, so the chatzar has to be similar to the home. How so? Ma bayis hamishtamer, was that just like a bayis is guarded. In other words, what does it mean it's mishtamer? In other words, that people just can't walk into my home, right? We'll use the Lashon guarded, meaning I'll say it's access restricted. Af chotzer mishtameres. So to Rabbi Osai, the type of chotzer that is called va'as for meiser, the type of chotzer which if you pile your finished produce in it, creates meiser liability, has to be a chotzer hamishtameres, has to be a guarded, access limited chotzer. I have a Rabbi Yanai, nami haksi b'sharecha, but what does Rabbi Yanai, who says that normally in order for produce to become chayiv and meiser, so it has to come into the home, what does he do with sharecha? Hohumi boile, see, he says, this teaches me that even the bayis itself is only koveya for meiser. The produce entering into the home only becomes chayvef meiser if what? If the produce enters the home through a normal entrance way, through a normal shar. La fuke derech gagos vikarfifos. Both said this comes to exclude what? That if one goes ahead and gets the produce into the home, literally either through the roof, right, or through some back way, but not through a primary entrance, that does not establish meiser liability. Again, also remember again, they're not arguing over here on svara; they're arguing over here ultimately again about gersakas, about drushes. That's the idea over here. Fine. So the Gemara says the following. Masi Rav Chanina Choza. So Rav Chanina Choza raises the following question. Kenafshecha. Remember again, on Amud Beis, so he darshaned ultimately the phrase Kenafshecha, that you shall go ahead and you could eat as the worker. You could eat in accordance with what you want. Kach nafsho shal poel. So meaning the poel, the worker, eats in the same way that Balabas does. How so? Ma nafshecha ochel upater. So we'll say, just like we said before, the Balabas, when he is going ahead and harvesting his produce, he could eat from the produce without first having to tithe the produce. Af nafsho shal poel ochel upater. We'll say, so too over here. When the worker is harvesting the field for the owner of the field, he is also permitted to eat without first taking trumas and maestras. Okay, now we're going to say, now watch this. Holokea chayiv. Now, what we can infer from this is the following. The Torah seems to be making a special exception. The Torah is saying that there are two people who can go ahead and eat from fully finished produce without having to tithe it. Who are those people? Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Who are those people? That is the owner of the field. That is the owner of the field. And that ultimately, again, is the poel. So what do we infer from that? But let's say somebody were to go ahead and purchase the produce. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Let's say, again, someone comes over to Reuven. Reuven's harvesting his field. The produce is in the field. And what happens? Shimon comes along and purchases the produce. What I would infer from Rabbi Osei is the act of purchasing produce, by definition, a purchase affects, I should say differently, a purchase affects completion of the produce. That's not good English. A purchase renders the produce a complete product. Therefore, once it's rendered a complete product, it becomes chayiv in all trumas. So I was supposed to say, let me take a step back. Bottom line is, everyone will agree that produce only becomes chayiv and trumas maestros, liable to tithes, when the produce is in a state of completion, when it's completed, when it is a finished product. The machlokes is, when does it become a finished product? So Rabbi Yanai will say, it's only finished when you bring it in the house. Rabbi Yochanan will say, it's finished when you pile it in the field. What the Gemara now is suggesting is the following. Torah goes out of his way to tell me that when the owner harvests his field, he need not take trumas and maestros before partaking of it. So to the poel, when he's harvesting the field, the worker need not take trumas and maestros when he's harvesting before he eats. What we infer from that is, if somebody were to purchase the produce, that would essentially affect the completion of the produce and would make the produce chayiv in trumas and maestros. Now both say, now where is a person purchasing their produce from? My love bisada. So both say, are we not talking about a field where what? Reuven is coming along, or I should say Shimon is coming along, and purchasing the produce of Reuven while that produce is still in the field, and yet, what do you see? What's the halacha? An act of purchasing produce that is still in the field will what, Rabbi Osai? Render the produce complete and finished, and make it subject to Shumas and Maestros. Now this is a kesha on both Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan both agree that the produce needs one additional step besides being piled in the field. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it has to be brought in the house. According to Rabbi Yanai, it has to be brought in the house. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it has to be brought into the chotzer. But being piled in the field does not affect completion. Yet, we're seeing over here that at least by a purchase, it does. My love, Basada. So we're not talking about a case of Basada. And you see over here that produce could be called a completed product. Could be called a completed product. Even before it reaches the home or the chatzar. Papa, no. What's the case over here? Hacha b'te'ina ha'omedes begina. V'nofet no to the chatzar. Well, this is a very interesting case. So Papa says, what's the case? The case over here is a fig tree that is standing in the garden, but it has a branch that extends into the chotzer. So we'll say, so now what's this case over here? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Note the chotzer, the mechitalsha chazia pnei chotzer. So we'll say, we're talking about a case over here where what? Reuven has a field with a fig tree. The fig tree is standing in the fig garden, but it has a branch that extends into the chotzer. Or, ulamando amar lebayis lebayis. Or it has a branch that extends into the home. And what's happening over here? What's happening over here? I own this fig tree. I'm selling the fig to Reuven. Therefore, again, or figs to Reuven. Therefore, once the fig is taken off the branch, it automatically is what? It automatically is in the chutzar, or it's automatically in the bayis. So because of that, that's why when Reuven then goes ahead and purchases that fig, it is subject to the laws of Trumas and Maestros already. Why? Because the moment it was removed from the tree, it had already entered into the chutzar, already entered into the home. Ihachi, if that's the case, Bala bayis nami nechayiv. So we'll say, if that's the case, I don't understand that even the balabas, even when I am harvesting my figs from my tree, if I'm harvesting figs off a branch that extends into my chatzar according to Rabbi Yochanan, or into my home according to Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi said, then what should be the halacha? And as soon as I take it off the tree, what should be the halacha? I'm chayiv in shumas maisos. Why? Because that fig has entered into the home, that fig has entered into the chatzar. So what's the shayla? It should be chayiv immediately. To which the Gemara says, well, so this is really interesting. So to which the Gemara answers, balabayis enav b'teina. So, balokeach enav b'mikcho. So we'll say, everything is a question of your orientation. Everything is a question of how you view things. For the balabas, for me, the owner of the fig tree, that branch is not my focus. My focus is what? My focus is the trunk. My focus is the majority of the tree, which does not stand in my chatzar, which does not stand in my bias. On the other hand, for the purchaser, when Reuven's purchasing figs, he's not purchasing a tree, he's purchasing some of the figs that happen to be on the tree, or on the branch that extends into the home, or into the chatzar. So therefore, because his focus is on the branch, therefore, as soon as they are removed, they are considered to be a finished product, also by dint of the fact that they are in the chatzar and the bias. On the other hand, when I remove those figs from the branch, even though, again, it's in the chatzar or it's in the home, lemaisa, that is not the primary produce for me. The primary produce is what comes from the true tree, or the primary tree, which is in the gina itself. Look at Rashi. Rashi is over here. Einav betanos, betainos. So, ein hanov chashav beinav. So for me, the owner of the tree, that one branch is not chashav in my eyes. Hilchach hakoholich achar eker. Therefore, I will say, when determining the identity of the tree, everything goes after the trunk. Ve'ikra b'chutz. And the trunk, of course, is outside of the chatzar, outside of my home. Hilchach, actually, you might call the kitas of ikanis lebayis, logar malachu. Therefore, both seifan lebalabas. So the way I define that tree is by its trunk. The trunk is outside the home, outside the chatzar. Therefore, again, when I'm harvesting, I could eat without having to take trumas and maizos because it is not considered to be a finished product. On the other hand, b'mikcho, a purchaser is focused just on the branch. Vehin peros hatulushin umishanit lushu ba lebayis. Fine, says the Gemara. Now, the Gemara is going to ask now an interesting question, which is really fascinating, actually quite riveting. So the Gemara says, let me ask you, are you telling me that when, see, the paradigmatic case, or the normative case of Trumas and Maisus is what? I'm a farmer, I grow produce, the Torah tells me that before I go ahead and I eat my produce, I have to separate out Trumas and Maisus, right? I have to give to the Kohen, I have to give to the Levi, I have to give to the Ani, I have to do my part. So what about if somebody purchases produce? I don't grow it. I purchase it. So asks the Gemara, V'lokeach medaraisa mimechayiv, is a purchaser obligated biblically to separate out Trumas and Maisras? Now watch this. V'atani, we learned in Abraisa, Mepneimachar v'chanuyos shal beis hino, shalosh shanim kodem Yerushalayim. So we'll say, why is it that the stores of Beis Hino was a place, Rashi says, were destroyed 3 years before Yerushalayim? So we'll say, these apparently were marketplaces in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, and they were destroyed 3 years prior to the Beis HaMikdash. To ask the Gemara, why were the marketplaces destroyed 3 years earlier? Mipnei shemidu divrei mal divrei Torah. Because ultimately, again, they decided to go ahead and conduct themselves according to biblical law, and to forget rabbinic law. Look at Rashi. Shemidu divreihem kilomar, masha asru mit divrei chachamim matzala heter min haTorah. They decided that the rabbis forbade certain things. They did not want to be bound by what the rabbis forbade, and therefore they conducted themselves in accordance with Torah law. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? Shaya omrim, because they used to say the following. Look at Amadei. Shaya omrim, the pasuk says, Aser ta'aser v'achalto. The pasuk says, you shall tithe, and you shall eat. So we'll say, so actually, the pasuk in its entirety says, Aser ta'aser es kol tevo asarecha, hayotzi asada shana shana v'achalto. So we'll say, so the pasuk is talking about what kind of case? The pasuk is talking about someone who is planting their own produce, harvesting their own produce, and eating their own produce. So on a literal biblical level, what they were arguing was, the Torah only says that only one who grows their own produce is chayv in shumas and maestros. V'lo mocher tvuas zaracha. You are only chayv to go ahead and tithe produce you're going to eat. You're not chayv to tithe produce you're going to sell. Not only that, v'lo lokeach. And furthermore, again, you're only chayv to tithe produce that you grow and eat, but you are not chayv to tithe produce that what? That you purchase. The Shabbos says a very dramatic statement to which the Gemara says, Ella midirabanan. Rather, again, you have to say that you're right. On a biblical level, if you purchase produce, you are not chayav to tithe it. You're only chayav to tithe produce that you go ahead and you grow yourself. Ukra asmachta ba'alma. Same achinami, it's a dirabanan. And the rabbanan go ahead and bring psukim to support this idea that one is obligated to go ahead and tithe produce. Tithe produce that they bought and not that they grew. Elo kinafshecha lamai asa. So now the Gemara says, okay, so now we have to unravel this a little bit. If that's the case, then let's go back for just a moment. Then why do I need the drasha of kinafshecha? Remember again, what was the drasha of kinafshecha? What did we learn? L'chidisanyo, kinafshecha, ma nafshecha im chasam. So we'll say, so I'm sorry, let's go back for just a moment. Look at Rashi. Elo kinafshecha lamai asa. Let me get this straight, says the Gemara. If you're telling me now that on a technical level, on a biblical level, the only person who's chayv to separate out Trumas and Maestros is who? Person who grows their own produce. But if I buy produce, I am not chayv to separate out Trumas and Maestros. Then what? Then it goes without saying, about say, that a worker, when he's harvesting a field and consuming the produce, also what? Should not be chayv in Trumas and Maestros. So why do I need a special pasuk, to teach me that halacha? Elas kinaf shecha lo ma'asa. So what do I need kinaf shecha for? This is really, I told you, I promised you, riveting Gemara. This is it. L'chidisanyo. I have to understand something. You know, we look at these Gemaras, and all right, you know, it's interesting. Understand, this is like the bread and butter of an agricultural society. You know, I'm working in a field, I want to eat. What could I eat? How could I eat? Shumasimaisis. I purchased for Shumasimaisis. This was the lifeline of just daily society. L'chidisanyo. So I'll tell you what I need it for. Kinafshecha. What does kinafshecha teach me? Manafshecha im chasamta pater. Well, say, if I'm the balabas, and I choose, literally means to muzzle myself. I choose to go ahead and not eat of the produce when I'm harvesting the field. Pater, in other words, pater means that I have the right to do so. Sa'af poel im chasamta pater. So what they so too, if you go ahead and you muzzle your worker, you're also potter. Now what does that mean, I muzzle my worker? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Im chasamto katsatsta domim shlo lecha o bechazaka. I will say, what you could do sometimes is, and one would imagine this must have occurred, which is, I work out a financial arrangement with my worker, that listen, don't eat the produce while you're harvesting the field. Right? You could definitely see like the Messias how this could happen, especially let's say in a case of a vineyard, or the situation a person can both say, very often vineyards, remember, are not just made for the grapes, but they're made ultimately again to produce wine. One could imagine one has a specific sug of grape, the type of grape that they need. You don't want your workers, you know, munching down on the grapes and depleting your wine supply. So you could see that there would be the ability to go ahead and work out a financial, I'll pay you X amount extra in order for you to yield the right of consumption. So if I do that with my worker, then again I'm putter. I'm putter for what say, that I'm not in violation of the prohibition of lo sachsum shar bedisho. Just like again, I'm not permitted to muzzle my ox when it threshes. So I'm gonna thought that I'm not permitted to muzzle my worker. Kamash and I am permitted to muzzle my worker. And by the way, I should take it a step further. Even if I forcibly muzzle, that forcibly muzzle doesn't mean I actually muzzle my worker. What it means is I tell him, you are not permitted to eat of the produce while you are harvesting. As much as, again, I may be in violation of a positive commandment, I'm not in violation of a prohibition. So the Gemara says, that was what we learn out from Kinafshecha. Masid Marzutra. So Marzutra raises a kash. He says, Ezuhu garna lemaisros. So we'll say, what is considered to be the goren for maisros? Now we'll say, goren is the lashon. That means gemar malacha. Goren means, at what point in time do we say that produce has reached a finished state so that it is subject to the laws of Shumas Maisros? So watch this. It's actually very interesting. Pikishu medaluim. So when it comes to cucumbers and gourds, Mishiyapaksu, we'll say, apparently, cucumbers and gourds, and this could be, I don't know, I've never seen this before. Not that I'm like a farming expert. But apparently, again, with cucumbers and gourds, so when you plant them, there's a blossom. There's a blossom on top of the vegetable. And that blossom falls off. I don't know if that's the right term, blossom. But when that, there is?
Yeah, sure.
Of course. Incredible. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. Fantastic. Corroborated by the farmers of the Daf Yomi of Baltimore. Fantastic. So says the Gemara, so good. When the blossom falls off, so that, again, I will say, indicates that Lemaisa, the produce is now finished, and therefore subject to the obligation of Shumas and Maisus. Rabbi Asi, Mishenit, Mishayinatel, Pekas, Shalahem. And ultimately, Rabbi Asi says that when the blossom is actively removed, then the mice, so again, that's when it becomes Chayv and Shumas and Maisros. My love, Mishay Paksu Afilu Besad. And I've also, we're going back a little bit to our previous Machlokas, Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan. Does this not mean that even if the blossom falls off while the cucumbers and gourds are still in the field, that it will be Chayv and Shumas and Maisros? And I've also, now what does that tell you? That's a stero. That's a contradiction. Why? Because both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yana agreed that produce cannot become finished produce, subject to Shumas and Maisros in the field. Whether it needs to come into the home or it needs to come into the chatzar, it needs to go somewhere. Yet here we seem to be saying that as soon as the blossom falls off, even if it's in the field, it's going to be subject to Shumas and Maisros. Ihachi, Mishiwish the Gemara, Afilu Besada, Maila Afilu Besada, Lo, Mishib Kisuba Bayis. No, what it means is when the blossom falls off and the produce has already been brought into the home. If that's the case, ihachi mishe paksu, ad shi paksu mibai. If that's the case, it shouldn't say when the blossom falls off, it should say that it is permitted for consumption until the point that the blossom falls off. Itana ad shi paksu avamina ad digimar lepikusaihu. If the Gemara would have said until the blossoms fall off, I would have thought, I would say, what does that mean? That means until all of the blossoms fall. I mean, perhaps, again, the cucumbers and gourds are looked at as what? Are looked at as one whole entity. And only until all of the blossoms fall off, then it's not subject to actually differently. It only becomes subject to Shumas and Maisros when all of the blossoms fall off. Kamash mala, no. Kamashlan the Gemara teaches us that is not the case, that Lamaisa, again, as soon as the blossoms begin to fall off, then Lamaisa, again, the produce will become subject to Shumas and Maisros. To which the Gemara says, Masiv Marzutra b'Yid Rav Nachman. Garno Lamaiser, Lechayv Alav Mishum Tevel, Mishatigmar Malachtim. So we'll say, in general, when it comes to produce, it reaches the Goren state. Remember, Goren state means the state of being finished and being completed, when it therefore becomes subject to Shumas and Maisros. So when does produce reach the Goren state? Mishatigmar Malachton. When the work for the produce, or when the work with the produce is complete. The Ezuhu Gimar Malachton. So we'll say, when do we say that produce is in its finished state? To which the Gemara says, Malachas Hachnasasan. It means the work of bringing the produce inside. My love, now what does inside mean? Perhaps inside really means piling in the field. Meaning once it's brought inside the field, once the produce is not spread around, but it's put on a pile in the field, perhaps that's considered to be that the work is done. No, what it means to say is, it's only once the produce is brought into the home, that's when the produce is considered to be finished, and therefore chayv and shomer semai. So see by same, the other possibilities. Furthermore, Rabbi says it's also possible. Remember again, what did Rabbi Yanai say before? Rabbi Yanai was the one who said that lamaisa, only once you go ahead and you bring produce inside the home is it considered to be a finished product, and therefore subject to shomer semai. Maybe Rabbi Yanai was only saying that by olives and by grapes. The lav b'nei goren ninhu. The Rabbos say those items are not normally brought into a threshing floor. Avachitim u'so'orin goren behejek sivdei. But ultimately, by chitin u'so'orin, by grain, by wheat, so lemaisa, perhaps one could say that since it says goren, since it says threshing, which Rabbos say means the state of piling it together, perhaps by grain, it should be chayv and shumas lemaisus once it's put into a pile. Ashkichon, so fine. So that's where the Gemara stops there. Ashkichon adav b'mechuber b'sharbatash. So we'll say, just by the way, you should know, the way we paskin is we paskin like Rabbi Yanai, that in agricultural society that produce only becomes chayiv in shumas and maisrus once it's roa p'nei abayis, once ultimately it's brought into the home. Now, of course, home here, lav dafka means your home where you live. When they say home, they mean like the granary, the silo, right? The place where ultimately the produce is stored. That's when it becomes chayv and shumas and maisrus. Fine. Ashkechon adav b'mechuber v'sharbatash. We'll say very interesting. So now what we've established is the following. We've established the right of a worker who is harvesting a field to partake of produce when that produce is attached to the ground. Furthermore, we also know that an animal has the right to go ahead and eat from detached produce when it's working as well. We'll say, where do we know about a shor betalish? Where do we know that a shor is permitted to eat a detached produce? We know that because Zohar says, lo sachsom shor bedisho. You cannot muzzle your ox when it's threshing. We'll say, what's the act of threshing? The act of threshing was, it'll be done two ways. Number one, you could go ahead and you could have an animal that is tethered to a mill, and that animal is pulling the millstone, right? Like the big round stone to crush grain. So you can't muzzle the ox when it's doing that threshing. That's possibility one. Or the other way that they used to thresh, which is also very interesting, is they would put the produce on the ground of the threshing floor. They'd let the animal walk around on it. So letting the animal walk around on it would also separate the wheat from the chaff. Either way, whatever it is, the point is when the animal is working with detached produce, you cannot muzzle the animal. The animal has to have the right to eat. So now what we've established is the following. I know the right of a worker to eat from attached produce and the right of an animal to consume detached produce. Adam betalush minalan. How do I know that if a worker is working with detached produce, that he has the right to go ahead and consume from that produce when he's working? We learn from a kav chomer from shor. What's the kav chomer? So we'll say a shor that is not permitted to eat from attached produce is permitted to eat detached produce. Adam shochel b'mechuber ein odin shochel betalush. So a person who is able to eat b'mechuber, of course, he should be able to eat betalush. To which the Gemara says, "Well, that's not necessarily a good kav chomer." Mal shor shekin atam mitzuva al chasimaso. So we'll say there's a difference. By shor, there is an explicit prohibition to muzzle him. Tomar ba'adam shi'ata mitzuba al chasimaso. We'll say by a person, I'm not commanded about muzzling him. Right? Now we'll say, now what does that mean? That goes back to what we said before. That technically speaking, if I want to quote unquote muzzle my worker, I have the right to do that. But one second, why don't I say that an employer should be prohibited from quote unquote muzzling his worker from a kav chomer to shor? What's the kav chomer? By a shor, there is no obligation of v'chai sharcha imach. Right? There's no obligation to go ahead and sustain your shor. There's no obligation to go ahead and do whatever you have to do to keep your shor alive. But there is an obligation of v'chai achicha imach. There's an obligation to take care of your fellow Jew, but yet by a shor, where there is no obligation to go ahead and sustain its life. Again, I can't make it suffer, right? There's a din of tzar balei chayim, but I'm not obligated to go out of my way to make sure that my shor has a happy and healthy life. That's not my obligation. But yet again, I'm not permitted to muzzle him. Certainly again, adam shatam tzav lachayoso. But a person who I am obligated to make sure that he has a happy, healthy life. Ain't no din shatam tzuvah chasimaso. Certainly again, I should be prohibited to muzzle him. Amakra kinafshecha. Therefore, I'll say, go back to what we said before. The pasuk says kinafshecha. What does kinafshecha teach me? Kinafsho shal poel. Teaches me abosai that my poel is like me. How so? Just like I, the owner of the Yael, have the right to quote unquote muzzle myself and decide not to eat. Af poel im chasamto potter. So taken I will say by a poel, by a worker, if I quote unquote muzzle him, I'm going to be potter as well. The Elah Adam Betalosh Milah. So most of it, how do I know that a person is permitted to go ahead and partake of detached produce? Right? Detached produce when he's working. So Amakra. Kama based pamim. So we'll say the pasuk says kama. We talked about this yesterday. Kama means standing grain. It says kama twice. So if I don't need it to teach me, if I don't need it to teach me that a worker has the right to consume attached produce, tineu inyan la'adam betalosh. So we'll say use the other kama to teach me that a worker is permitted to consume detached produce. Rabbi Ami or Ami says, Adam betalush lo tzarech kra. Rabbi Ami says, no, I don't need a pasuk to teach me that a person is permitted to go ahead and consume detached produce. How do I know this? Ksiv kisavo bekerem reyacha. Because the pasuk says, when you will come into the kerem, when you will come into the vineyard of your friend, milo askina shesachru lekasei. And I will say, here's what's interesting. We often assume that the case of kisavo bekerem reyacha is when I am hired to pick the grapes off the vines. The Gemara suggests that perhaps the case is where what? I am chayif to transport the grapes. That's my obligation, to transport the grapes. So let's say if I'm chayif to go ahead and transport the grapes. So lemaisa again. Lemaisa under that circumstance, that's called malacha bitalush. That's called malacha with detached produce. And I'm permitted to go ahead and consume. V'amrachman aleichol. And the pasuk says I'm permitted to eat, which shows you that the worker is permitted to go ahead and eat detached produce. Shar b'mukhar minal. So we'll say, how do I know that a shar, when it's working, is permitted to go ahead and consume attached produce? To which the Gemara says, kavachomer, I'm in the second wide line now. Kavachomer me'adam. It's a kavachomer from a person. How so? Uma adam shina ochel betalush, ochel b'mechuber. So we'll say, so a person, a worker, a human worker, who does not eat detached produce when he's working, eats attached produce, shar she'ochel betalush, and adin she'ochel b'mechuber. So a shar, ultimately, again, who is permitted to eat detached produce, should certainly be able to eat attached produce, to which the reference is not a good kavachomer. Malo adam shekein atam tzuv l'achiyoso, Tomer b'shar she'atam tzuv l'achiyoso. We'll say, can't compare it, because by a person, I have an obligation of a chayachicha imach, that obligation does not apply by shar. V'yehei shar mitzuvah lachiyosu mikavachomer. Aye, but I should be obligated to go ahead and sustain a shar from a kavachomer. What's kavachomer? Uma adam shiata mitzuvah chasimah. So we'll say by a worker where I'm not prohibited from muzzling him, as we discussed, but yet again I have an obligation to go ahead and sustain him. So we'll say, so sure that I am prohibited from muzzling him, all the more so that I should be obligated to sustain the shar. The pasuk says, v'chai achicha imach. Therefore, the pasuk says, no, dafka v'chai achicha imach. You're only obligated to sustain your brother, the lo shar, but you're not obligated to sustain the shar. V'ala shar mechor minal. And Rabbos, I say, how do I know that a shar is obligated to go ahead and, not obligated, excuse me, how do I know that a shar is entitled to go ahead and consume mechor produce? Amakra re'echa re'echa beis pamim. The pasuk says re'echa twice, and it's very interesting. And so one re'echa teaches me, my fellow man, if I don't need re'echa to teach me a person, then what? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, if I don't need it to teach me that my human worker could eat attached produce, then teneo inyan l'shar b'mechuber. Then ultimately what? Use it to teach me shar b'mechuber. Use it to teach me ultimately that a shar is permitted to go ahead and that a shor is permitted to go ahead and eat mechuber. Well, let's just do one more line. He says, Ravina Amar, lo adam metal shor shor mechuber, tzvichi kri. So we'll stop over here. Again, it's a little bit mid-discussion, but we'll stop over here. I'll share with you an idea on the parsha.